refill if when necessary during the shiur. Sorry that we're a little bit late, but we will do our best to compensate, and if we don't do all the sources inside, it'll be hopefully in a way to make sure that we can cover the basic topic still in the allotted time. I want to take this opportunity to thank the firm once again for not only hosting us, but also being a partial sponsor of the lunch, and also take this opportunity, we hope to do this now that we kind of got off the ground, as we did last year. We started to do this about once a month, and the lunch isn't free. David Chu doesn't give it to us for free, so we thank the firm for co-sponsoring, but we're certainly, when you get the emails and you hear about the shiur coming up, all of you are getting a delicious free lunch. It would be certainly appreciated. The difference from what the firm gives is being picked up by the shul. So it certainly would be appreciated for a simcha, for your site, or for just Harbasas Torah, if anyone wants to, as we go through the course of the year, take an opportunity to sponsor. I also want to mention that this particular shiur today, the Divrei Torah, will be learned in memory of Mordechai Yehuda ben Binyamin, who just passed away overnight. That is the father of Judy Weiss and the father-in-law of our shul's president, Tommy Weiss. And he was a very, very sweet and beloved person who actually got hurt over Sukkot and was never able to leave Baltimore. In fact, passed away here. The funeral is taking place right now in New York. So we hope that these words are l'ilui nishmaso. The topic for the shiur, which as I indicated on the second line of the title, is I hope going to be a two-part shiur, is the obligation and limits of Kiruv, or being involved and interacting with Jews who are less observant or less knowledgeable than we are fortunate to be. And basically what I would like to do very simply is to divide the shiur up into two parts, and today to discuss the obligation or the various sources for obligation of Kiruv or being involved in Kiruv Rechokim, and then next month the limitations or the limits of Kiruv. Depending on your perspective, one of the shiurim will be more exciting than the other. But I would think that they're both interesting, and perhaps this is the more important one, which is why we're starting with it. Basically, what I did was catalog, and I have a little osio, so to speak, to show about four or five, or really six different mitzvos, d'oraisa, that seem to be included in any, if not all, situations which could be generally categorized as kiruv. The truth is, there's probably a handful more. I didn't have a chance to look up, but I remember years ago seeing a paperback pamphlet published by the OU and NCSY from Rav Aryeh Kaplan, Zichrono Livracha, in which he did exactly this. It had a bright green cover, very memorable. I thought, even though I haven't seen it in years, I'd easily find it on my bookshelf. Either it's more messy than I thought, or maybe I lent it to somebody, but I wasn't able to find it today. So he, among other things, does list a lot of this discussion, but I was not able to reference him, so it could be that there's others that he knows of, that he found of, that I didn't quote. But basically, to discuss some of the different issues that might come up, that might obligate us to spend time to be involved in something which perhaps otherwise may be uncomfortable for us, or time-consuming, and we should realize that there really are very serious and very real obligations to be involved with, not just to care, but to be involved with our fellow Jews, who, as I say, may be less fortunate in their spiritual background than we are. The first, perhaps, and most important basis for any such obligation comes from the pasuk of Yahavtas Hashem Elokecha, that we are obligated to love Hashem. And we know that Chazal are very challenged to understand, as we are by extension, what does that mean to love Hashem? Love is such a visceral human emotion. By definition, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is removed from that, you would think. And yet, of using such descriptive language, Chazal and the Rishonim are trying to always figure out what tangible human way do we express our love of Hashem. And one of the ways is this famous Sifrei, which the Rishonim quote, which I have for you here, which the Medrash tells us, Ahavaso al Habrios, to make Hashem beloved by others. And who is our model? We've just been reading about him in the Parshios HaShavua, Ke Avram Avicha, Kinyan Shenamar, as we've just recently read. And gracious as a nefesh asher asu b'charon, which of course Chazal tell us, as the Midrash tells us, what does that mean, the nefesh asu b'charon? What do you mean you can't make nefeshos? Actually, says Chazal, say Chazal, you can, in the sense of if you give, so to speak, spiritual birth to them, if you teach them, or in this case, convert them, and show them in makarvim l'torah, makarvim l'akadosh baruch hu. So by ahavas olabrios, by making Hashem beloved to all these new people that Avram introduced monotheism to, nefesh asher asu b'charon, says Hashem, that is the parrot, says the Sifrei, excuse me, that is the Rambam's paradigm, as we'll see in a moment, that is the model for Abbas Hashem. If you you bring people closer to Hashem, to love Hashem, that is a way of fulfilling the mitzvah of your own Ava. The Rambam quotes this Sifrei as part of his description in Mitzvah Gimel, in the Sefer Mitzvos, of Avas Hashem. As he tells us, Upar Amru, I'm in the second source, Shemitzvah Zu Kolelis Gam Kain, what does this mitzvah include above and beyond other things which he's already mentioned, which are not our topic? Shenidro Shvenikra Anashim Kulum Avodasa Yis'ala Lahamin Bo. To encourage people to come closer to Hashem, to believe in Hashem, to create that relationship to Hashem. And in fact, in the next line below, he then quotes the Sifrei with the model of Abraham. And then Abraham, then the Rambam paraphrases, Russell Omer, that means to say, Kamosh Abraham Ba'avor Shai Oev Hashem, just like Abraham who loved Hashem, Kamosh Sheir HaKasub, as the Pasuk Ginnabi tells us, Abraham Ohavi, Havai, Hashem, Abraham among all the Avos, we'll see in a moment, very picked up on by the Chasam Sofer, among all of the Avos, Abraham is referred to only and uniquely as the one who loved Hashem. What does that express, says the Rambam? Gam kein legodol hasagaso darasha anashim ala emuna mechozek ahavaso. Why did Abram run around doing all this? It's because he loved Hashem. Kein ata ohav oso ashetidrosh anashim ala. So too, we are obligated to love Hashem so much that we want to bring people closer to Him.
Does that mean we're also obligated to expose non-Jews to the idea of Divinei Noach and get them to not be?
It's a good question. It's a good question. It would seem to be the general assumption, certainly of our focus today, is that we're talking about the Jewish people. But I would think that certainly any Makor that uses Abram as a source would absolutely be applicable. 100%. That's a very good point. One of the most remarkable sources you'll find anywhere, and if for only two moments, I would say for this source, stop eating. Or at least if you could really concentrate and eat at the same time. But this is a source you want to concentrate for. This is one of my all-time favorite sources, and it's a hold-on-to-your-seat kind of source. It's an amazing, amazing makor. And it's from the Chasam Sofer, his Hagzama to his Tshuva. Chasam Sofer has a very powerful and profound introduction to his Tshuvas. He actually names it Petuchei Chosem. And the Rambam, the Chasam Sofer, in this context, focuses on exactly this point, picking up on the Rambam and the Medrash, what was so unique and so beloved about Avraham. He asks the question very simply, why is it that the Navi uniquely and Chazal uniquely attribute the loving of Hashem, or that mutual love that Hashem loved Avraham? Why is it, dafka by Avraham and not by Yitzchak and Yaakov, let alone anybody else? Why is it, among all the Avos, Shnikra Oso Hamakom B'Shem Avavo? So he explains this not based on the pasuk of Asher Nefesh Asu Bachara, by another pasuk more recently that we just read about Avram, quotes in Perek Yud Ches, Ki Yedativ the Torah test. Hashem says, I'm going to make this bris ben Absarim with Avram because I know about him. Amanashi Yitzaves, Bonaves, Beza Acharav, Shamru, Derech Hashem, etc. Torah tells us that Hashem's confidence in Avram was because he knew that Avram would teach Torah to others, specifically to his descendants. Says the Chasam Sofer, underlying part. Torah b'zeh, ki nefleis ahavas Hashem la'avraham avinu al v'shalom. That Avraham had this incredible love of Hashem. Again, that's not in the pasuk, ki yedativ. But that's how the Chasam Sofer understands it. Again, I'll feed the Sefer Mitzvos and the Sifrei. It's all because of Avraham's love of Hashem. Al shelime das es ha'am v'kirvam levodaso. And therefore Avraham brought people closer to Hashem. He she'om delo yoser. Mikol ma'ise ha'tov v'schus ha'nefesh o'ilol atmo. All of the schusim that Avram had as an individual, which of course he had, none of them were more worthwhile in Avram's spiritual bank account. None of them were more powerful in him becoming known as the Ohev Hashem than the fact that he would share his relationship with Hashem, share his love of Hashem, his belief in Hashem with other people. Says the Chasam Sofer, Ki ve'emes lefan, if you before Avram, haya, it's a misnomer what we're taught in school. Avram was not the first person to know Hashem. He did not become the first monotheist. There were people, the Torah and Perikei, and among others, and Chazal attest to other people who knew Hashem. Adam knew Hashem. There were people who knew Hashem before Avram. Perhaps most dramatically, says the Chasam Sofer, Mi lano gadol mechanoch. Hanoch, the Torah itself, attests to something special. In Perikei, I think it's Pasuk Chavdalet, if I remember correctly, and if you take a look at the Mefarshim on that Pasuk in Bereishis, the way it's an enigmatic description of Chanoch passing away, different. Perikei is the genealogy, the ten doros from Avram to Noach, and it's unique in its description of Chanoch there among all the other generations, and there are many Mamari Chazal, some obscure Drushim, a Zohar, that basically all have this very mystical idea of Chanoch being the super duper tzaddik, who almost like a precursor of Eliyahu, went up to Shemayim in a chariot, and he was like the king of the seven heavens. after this, and he was with the angels doing all sorts of, I mean, unbelievable dramatic and vivid imagery about how big a tzaddik Chanoch was. Says the Chasam Sofer, big deal. Big deal. And Avram was not on the level of Chanoch. Avram never achieved that level of spiritual closeness to Hashem as Chanoch did. And it's not because Avram was any less of a tzaddik, had any less shleimus, any less talents, any less dedication. Of course not. Because that's what if Avram had wanted to live a life like Chanoch, namely, to be unconcerned and, in a certain sense, isolated or away from everybody else, he also could have lived a life that was kimat divine in its lifetime and perhaps angelic afterwards. Avram could have reached that supernatural spiritual level of Chanoch. And here is the key part, I have it underlined. And Avram deliberately did not live such a life. Because he realized, that's not what Hashem wants. That a person should just become the biggest tzaddik he or she can be. That is not what Hashem wants. But at the same time, as you focus on your own tzidkus, everyone else around you, and everyone else that gets left around you, in the end, doesn't know as much as you, is not as observant as you, becomes a chote, etc. After all, Avram knew and anticipated that we have that as a historical pattern. We have this in the generations before Avram. We have this in the generations after Avram, leading up into the Mabul itself. Again, I repeat, the Chasam Sofer says, yes, you could argue that you can become a bigger tzaddik if you stay in yeshiva. You can become a bigger tzaddik if you isolate yourself in a community. You could become a bigger tzaddik. Parenthetically, I mentioned a shul a few weeks ago that the Meshech Chochma on Noach said it's just not true. The Meshech Chochma on Noach quotes a different medrash that compares Noach, not to Avram, but Noach to Moshe. A parallel to the famous medrash that Rashi quotes. But Nachamol, Noach gets a short end of the stick. And the Meshech Chochma on that medrash says, why? Because Noach only cared about his own spiritual growth, and Avram, and Moshe was with the people for 40 years in the desert. He couldn't get a free moment even if he wanted it. Therefore, he says, the Meshech Chochma, really a treatise, says you would think that there's two types of tzaddikim, those who spend time alone, those who spend time with people. Who would be greater, says the Meshech Chochma, you would imagine the person alone. Kavachum says, no, you see from this Medrash, Kamash Malon, that Moshe obviously was bigger than Noah because he was involved with the people. So he didn't, the Chasam Sofer is not going to go so far. He'll say, yes, Tenech, I'll grant you, you can become a bigger tzaddik if you just worry about yourself. But that's not what Hashem wants. Hashem does not want bigger tzaddikim. And a part that I didn't include for you, he writes, what does Hashem need more malachim for? Hashem, if wanted another tzaddik, another lamed vav, like Hashem could just make one. That's not what he wants. Rather, he says, Avram understood, hanisan ezel lima roso, ki tov la'odom, this is unbelievable. Lama'e b'hashlomas nafsho. Better for the person to make a deliberate decision, consciously, lama'e b'hashlomas nafsho, to say, I am going to achieve less. I'll learn less. I'll have less kavanah davening. I'll have less kirvat Hashem. Less shleimus. Tov la'odem lamai b'ashlamas nafsho. Laman rabos kvar Hashem. If not because therefore you're just going to watch the football game all day, but because instead of that you are going to spend time being marvik for Shemayim, bringing other people closer to Hashem. Ha'okez v'mida zu mara abaso al Hashem b'yeter se'es. B'yeter se'es. If you want to really show you love Hashem, you're willing even to sacrifice your own closeness because you want to bring other people closer to Hashem. He continues a little bit on this theme. I hope I didn't oversell it. I think I've understated it. This is an amazing, amazing makor. Now, how this has to be applied for every person, every stage of life, etc., it's needless to say that requires contemplation, and I would even say hadracha. But believe me, this is the Chasam Sofer saying it. And at the very least, everyone should know this Chasam Sofer and think about it. Lamaisa, the first reason we have to be involved in the Kiruv is very clear. If we love Hashem, then we simply want other people to love Him too. This psychology, which in essence Chazal are inferring, is also something that Rabbeinu Yoni says is another mitzvah, a losase in a certain sense. The Pasuk says very famously, Ara Asher Lo Yakum, Satorah Hazos, cursed is the one who doesn't uphold the Torah. So what does that mean, to uphold the Torah? So the Yerushalmi in Sota already has a little bit of a more figurative explanation, because obviously you can't hold the Torah, it's too abstract. But Rabbeinu Yona specifically lists this as a particular vera, says Rabbeinu Yona. Anyone, he says, reading the last line, Yesh b'yodo koach l'hachzik yidei ha'osek b'torah b'mitzvos, you have in your ability. And again, I know plenty of people who the best thing ever for the Jewish people is they should stay out of Kiruv, because they'll just turn everyone off. So you have to know yourself, you have to be honest. But if that's really a small number of people, most people really could have the proper influence if they were in the right framework and they were dedicated. You have to know, everyone has to know what's best for them. But the bottom line is, if you have the power, and ultimately only you and Hashem know, right? You can't trick Hashem. If you had the power to be matzik and to bring people closer and to inspire them, and you didn't, says the Rabbeinu Yonah, harihu b'chlal orer asher lo yakum. It's the same psychology, and the psychology, in essence, the psychology of Chazal is straight from the playground when we were little kids, right? When you have a good friend, what do you want about that friend? That everyone should like him also. You have a good friend, you've been at a sleepaway camp for 5 years, and now one of your friends from school who never was there comes to you for the first time. So what do you spend the first day or two doing? Going around introducing him to everyone, not just because you're a nice guy, because you want him to have friends. Because it's part of your friendship with the person that you want other people should like them. It's human psychology of 101. Chazal has always had their finger on the pulse of it. And it's not just true about our friends, it's true ultimately about their boner shalom. It's the Medrash, it's the Rambam, it's the Chasam Sofer, it's Rabbeinu Yonah. If you love Hashem, by definition, you'll want other people to love Hashem. You want to bring people closer to Him. And to the extent that we do that, we demonstrate our love of Hashem. And in a frightening way, to the extent that we don't do that, we have not shown our love of Hashem, perhaps as a bitul asay, and perhaps even a los asay. Turning to the bottom of the page, something a little bit more direct, is of course the pasuk of Ochech Tochech HaZamisech, which the Rambam here quotes in Sefer Mitzvos, that we have an obligation to admonish people if we see them doing something wrong. If we have this attitude of live and let live, the Rambam here says, powerfully, Zehefech HaTorah. Again, you have to know how, you have to know when, you have to know in what context. The Or Sameach, on the comments of the Rambam, the famous Rambam in Hilchos Gerushin, Makan Hashem Rotzani, so that Or Sameach already writes with Pitchus, so that doesn't apply anymore. Because if anything, now in our generation, you hit people, you're going to turn them more off. Instead of, so to speak, as the Rambam figuratively said, remove the Orla Salev and bring out the true. So you have to, again, you have to know the situation, you have to know the people. As the Rambam says in here in Hilchos Deos, you have to know how to talk to someone. Ochech Tochech HaZamisech does not mean screaming, Shabbos! Shabbos! That's called Chil Hashem! Chil Hashem! I would be willing to bet anything that I had that not a single person ever got closer to Shabbos from any of those demonstrations. And I'm not even getting into the stones.
Or beating up women.
Yeah, no, I think that works. It's been marbe kochemai, tremendously. Says the Rambam, you have to know, look what the Rambam says, second line here on the back of the sheet. Yedaber lo benacha, subaloshen racha, you speak to somebody softly, you do and you tell them, I'm doing this for your benefit. Right, very often you get a sense, why is there anger? Because there's a certain resentment that we have to keep Shabbos, how come they don't? Their Chil Shabbos interfere with my Shabbos. They had nothing to do with the mitzvah. Look at the Rambam. The only thing we care about in the mitzvah is what's better for that person, which we truly believe. Now again, how you speak to the person is also key. Right? You speak to somebody with that kind of very frontal in your mind, and you'll come up as condescending. Again, so you have to know how to talk to people. Some people have an intuitive sense, but I've seen plenty of people who didn't have the most intuitive sense, who through experience and through training, learned. Just like you can learn how to make an argument in a case, in a boardroom, you can learn how to talk to people in this context also. So how you do it, of course, is tricky. But the ultimate hashgofa behind it, the Rambam, is we care about what's best for them. So we have a mitzvah achiyah called Ochech Tochech HaZamisech, which means that we have to not live and let live, but if we see people who are far from Torah, we have to speak with them. Many Achronim and Rishonim suggest that the Makor for Ochech Tochech HaZamisech is the next point. The Gemara in Shavuot is telling us that there's a concept known as Kol Yisrael Harev Zebazeh. It's this mutual relationship and responsibility that we have for all Jews. This is a very powerful idea. It's not just a Hashkafic idea. The famous Ritva and Rosh Hashanah that I have here suggests that the reason that we say the Halacha of Yatza Motzi, Afabish Yatza Motzi, or even I made Kiddush once, we can still make Kiddush to be Motzi somebody else, says the Ritva in essence, because all Jews are kulam chaguf echad, kukapareya chov chaveiro. And as long as another Jew has not fulfilled their mitzvah of kiddush l'moshol, so I have not sufficiently or entirely fulfilled my chiyuv. There's one big priyas chov that all Jews have to have to fulfill the mitzvahs. And therefore, even though I was yotze my chelik of the chov, we're still one big guf. And if he has a chov that he owes, he's outstanding chiyuv to make kiddush, so I can do that for him, I can pay him for him. Who am I? The answer is we're kegovecha, we're one good. And I just gave you one marmakam, the Shulchan Aruch Harav, Alta Lubavitcher Rebbe. He says explicitly, he connects these two, but there are others, or Ben Yonah, or Ramban seem to apply this, that the Shorash of Achayach Tochichas Amisecha is Arvas. If we really recognize this interrelationship that we have with fellow Jews, then of course we cannot live and let live, but rather we must come forward. It's not just this idea that Gemara talks about, I can make Kiddush for them. That's nice. But there are a lot of people who, the halavai, the only thing they're missing is Kiddush on Shabbos morning. Right? They're missing a lot more, and therefore we need to do whatever we can to bring them closer to Hashem. Very fascinatingly, in the Os Hay, and I'm sorry we're running, but I hope it's relatively intelligible, and people around the table look like you have a safer. You could go through the sources on your own if you haven't been able to follow them inside as I'm saying them. But source, the Os number 5 is really very interesting, because what you have from here is a number of Achronim are using some mitzvos asay, which have ostensibly nothing to do with our topic, right? Hocheir, Tochiach, and Arvas are really on point. Avas Hashem seems to be a little bit removed, but I think it's not a jump. In this Os, you have a number of discussions of Rishonim who actually take a much bigger jump. It's half the jump, it's like a triple jump, right? The first part of it was done by the Gemara, but these Achronim go even further. Take two Pesukim for a moment that are purely, in a certain sense, purely, take the Pesuk of Ahashivosolo, right? Somebody loses their wallet, you have to return it to them. Ahashivosolo, you have to return it to them. Says the Gemara, if you see somebody whose own life is in danger, not just their wallet, their life, of course, you have to do Ba'ashevosol, you have to return it to them. So, frank the Gemara, Masechah Sanhedrin, is that called Lo Samar al Damar Yecha? I see someone lying on, drowning in the river. So, why do I have to help them? So if I would have asked anyone on the table, you probably would have told me, Lo Samar al Damar Yecha. The Gemara starts off by assuming, well, maybe that is Ba'ashevosol. So, the Gemara says, well, perhaps we can make the following distinction. Hava mi, last line, Hani mili b'dinavshe, Hava vitrich, Abigmar, Agurei. There's two times. There's some times where if I could do it myself, I could put a hand and I could pull the guy up out of the water. But do I have to? Let's say I'm not a good swimmer myself. I have to go pay somebody. I have to go put in all that extra effort. Says the Gemara between these two combined psukim of Losamo and Hashivosolo. That's a chivah hashavas gufo. So based on this idea, one little jump. Both the Minchas Chinuch here and the Maram Shik. The Maram Shik is well known for his Chuvas. But the Maram Shik also has a one-volume sefer called, which is a paraphrasing of the Sefer Chinuch, as Maram Shik al Taryag. So there, he says similarly to the Minchas Chinuch, that we could just use the Gemara, took the pasuk one step, Hashivosolo, from the wallet to the body, connecting to Losamo. Says the Minchas Chinuch, says the Maram Shik, if that's true for Hashavas Gufo, that that's a kol shekein came from the wallet, Hashavas Napsho is a kol shekein from Hashavas Gufo. Somebody has lost his soul. Again, what does that mean? It means that their neshama is distant from Hashem. So if that's the case, so kol shekein, Hashivosolo, Losamal Adam Rech, which again is talking about a physical life, obviously. But these Achronim understand that in a more figurative sense, kol shekein, it refers to someone's spiritual life. Let's just conclude with the final, so to speak, idea or mitzvot, which really obligate us in Kiruv, and that is from a very fascinating presentation of the Chavetz Chaim. The Chavetz Chaim, as you know, wrote many, many works. One of the more well-known ones is called Avas Chesed. And towards the end of the Sefer, in the Chelek Gimel, he has a whole chapter where he's darshaning the Pasuk in Tehillim Perek Mem Aleph of Ashrei Maskil El Hadal, that we're praising the Tehillim, says anyone who's thinking about, who's Maskil, who considers himself and thinks about the Dal, the poor person. So the Chofetz Chaim goes through different examples of what means a poor person, above and beyond the obvious. And here the Chofetz Chaim gives two examples, one from a Gemara, one in his own. One, the Gemara tells us in the Darim, there is a bedal, an ani bedas, someone doesn't have an understanding. They're not educated, unlettered, unsophisticated. So what? There's no greater anius than to be an ignoramus, basically. So says the Chofetz Chaim, to help somebody remove that ignorance is certainly a mitzvah. And furthermore, he says, and that he says is part of the Ahavlarecha Kamocha. And finally, in the last few lines we have here, ani, what's an ani? Kipshuto, shu ani batora. Person who's not close to Torah doesn't have a life of Torah mitzvos. That's the ultimate of being impoverished. But Sarah Lahasi was one, we are chayav to think about how can we bring this person close to Torah. And then he points out here, I'll just paraphrase the middle two lines which are underlined, which are really, really beautiful. He says we have to think about it. If someone is naked, doesn't have clothing, we have a chayav to clothe them, to give them clothing so they don't freeze to death. What if someone whose neshama is naked? Someone whose neshama is unclothed, and therefore when he'll be in front of the Kisei HaKavod, ultimately he'll be undressed, he'll have nothing to defend himself with. So lo kol shekem, lo kol shekem, some chametz chayim, archiv in tzedakah, archiv in caring about someone who's poor, kol shekem, someone who's poor in this house, poor in relationship with Hashem, we have a chiv to clothe them spiritually, to bring them close to Hashem, and to protect them from what otherwise be not their fault, but a difficult olam ha'emes. So we just very quickly saw six different mitzvos, the araisa, beyond, which obligate us in kiruv and caring about other Jews. Yemer Hashem, when we do part two next month, we'll pick up with some of the complicating factors and limitations of this chiyuv. But it's certainly important to continue to think about these obligations, at least for a month. And hopefully it'll have an impact and inspire all of us to do more for our fellow Jews. Shekhaya, enjoy the lunch.
Yeah, it's a lunch for the